tonight the sharing is going to be on the providence of Yahweh, Mordecai, and it's not Mordecai, it's really four syllables, Mordecai and Esther. And really, the book should be called Mordecai and Esther, because he's more, actually more a pinnacle than Esther is. And also, it's going to be on the enemies of Yahweh. So providence, and you see this a lot in old scriptures. George Washington never said Jesus Christ. He would say providence or God. But providence really means foresight, prudent anticipation. And that's where we get the word provide. So this is the providence of Yahweh in the future providing things that we did not realize at the moment was being provided for. And here's just some examples. Joseph began with dreams, ended up in slavery, was imprisoned. He had dreams, and then he became second in command, and by doing so, he saved Israel. Israel was saved from the famine. So you're looking at ordinary people, and Yahweh doing a providential state of affairs for an individual. Moses was a baby crying, was supposed to be put to death. He ended up becoming royalty, going to the wilderness. Yahweh calls him, and he ends up starting the Exodus, which saved Israel from Egypt. Daniel was exiled when he was a young man, castrated also. He dreamed dreams, got exalted. He was put to death, but was not dead. And at the end, instructed Cyrus. And so he was also a factor of Israel being saved. Mordecai was exiled from Jerusalem, and he ended up taking in Hadassah, which Esther is the Persian name for the queen, but her Hebrew name is Hadassah. She becomes Queen Esther. And Haman comes into the picture. Israel is to be destroyed, but instead Israel is saved. And that would have been also Daniel. So, we'll go to Romans 12, verse 4, and we're going to realize this providential action can be in all of our lives. Romans chapter 12. Just like in these people, so Esther never thought of herself, or Hadassah never thought of herself special. Neither probably did Daniel, did Moses, did Joseph. Verse 12. And so this is what's happening to, you know, Isaiah and Esther and Melania and all of our lives. The things are happening right now, and we're being prepared if we're willing to walk forth in that providential treatment. For just as in one body we have many members, yet all the members have not the same office. So we the many as one body in Christ, yet severally members one of another. Now having gifts of favor according to the favor given unto us, so all of us have gifts. Differing, whether prophesying, let us use it according to the proportion of our faith. And so we'll start naming the gifts of ministry. Use it in our ministry. Or he that teaches, let him use his gift in his teaching. Or he that exhorteth in exhortation. He that imparteth, let it be with liberality. He that taketh the lead with diligence. He that showeth mercy with a cheerfulness. Your love be without hypocrisy. Loathing that which is wicked, cleaving to that which is good, in your brotherly love unto one another be tenderly affectionate, in honor unto one another giving preference, in business not slothful, in spirit fervent to the Lord doing service, in hope rejoicing, in tribulation enduring, in prayer persevering, with the needs of the saints having fellowship, hospitality pursuing. So, and Yahweh has placed each one of us in the body. So we've got to realize, as these individuals too, now, maybe we don't see, or not going to have the fullness where we become second in command, but you're looking at Donald Trump, and that's really what's happening. That's what is happening. He's been trained all his life for what he is going through right now. and other people have also done that. So we're going to go in the book of Esther, and let me give you with the Hebrew canon. You know, like Bulger said, the real canon in order chronologically is Daniel, Esther, Nehemiah, and Ezra. That's how it works out. The Hebrew canon is placed with the writings. There are three groups to the word. And what are those? Yahushua said?
The prophets.
Yeah, the law, the prophets, and the Psalms, or the writings. And the Psalms
are
writings.
What is canon?
Pardon me?
What is canon?
As the books.
The order.
And when they became part of the scriptures. So in the Hebrew, which is correct, the Septuagint changed all of this. So they messed everything up. So in the Psalms or the writings, we have first Psalms, Proverbs, Job, Song of Songs, Ruth, Lamentations, Ecclesiastic, Esther, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Chronicles. So that's how Yahweh put them in there. Now we go to Esther chapter 9, page 499. So we're going to go about this with a little different aspect. And so Esther just taught on the book of Esther. And like I said, this is Purim. This is a two-day festival, and we're going to read about it in Esther chapter 9. And 20 to 28. When do you want to read that, 20 to 28?
Yeah. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews who were in all the provinces of King
Ahasuerus,
near and far off.
I want to explain one thing. This is the end of the story. Okay, keep going. 21.
To establish for them that they should continue to observe the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th day thereof, always, year by year, according to the days wherein the Jews found rest from their enemies, and the month which was turned for them from sorrow to joy and from mourning to a happy day, that they should make them days of banqueting and rejoicing, and of sending portions everyone to his neighbor and gifts unto the needy. And the Jews took upon them that which they had begun to do and that which Mordecai had written unto them, because Haman, son of Hammedatha the Agite, the adversary of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to cause them to perish, and had cast Pur, the same as the lot, to terrify them and destroy them. But by Esther's going in before the king, he commanded by letter that his wicked plot, which he had plotted against the Jews, should return upon his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged upon the gallows. For this cause they called these days Purim, after the name Pur, for this cause, for all the words of this epistle, and what they had seen concerning such a matter, and what had reached unto them. The Jews established and took upon themselves and upon their seed and upon all who should join themselves unto them, that it might not pass away, that they would continue to keep these 2 days according to the writing concerning them and at their set time, always, year by year. And these days were to be remembered and to be kept always from generation to generation by every family, every province, and every city, that these days of Purim should not pass away out of the midst of the Jews, and the memorial of them not cease from their seed.
There we go. That's the end of the story. Now we're going to go into the spiritual ramifications of the wickedness. And we were just at a festival, or you know, rally yesterday in our capital of people coming against the Jews, which is Hamas, and bringing the same deliverance for the Jews that we were doing here. So it must
have
been blessed
against Hamas.
There was a Hebrew rabbi there, and he was really blessed to see everybody there. So now we go to, let's look at a group of people called the Amalek. Alright, and that is, we're going to see in Esther 3, 1 and 2.
The Amalekites?
The Amalekites, yeah. Amalek was the person, but it's the Amalekites. 3, verse 1. And we're going to learn a history about this adversary against Yahweh. And so in our lifetime, we're going to have adversaries against Yahweh, and he'll rise up to leaders. 3, 1. And these things did King Hazarerus promote to power Haman, son of Hammathath, the Agite. And what we're going to find out is, and exalted him and placed his seat above all the rulers who were with him. So when they call him an Agite, what we're going to find out is the Amalekite's king was name was Agai. And so he just calls himself an Agite. Now we go to Exodus 17, verse 8, page 1.
Are we coming
1.
Back here?
Yeah, but it's going to be a while. Looks like that's 101. Exodus 17, verse 8. Genesis, Exodus. Now we're talking about hundreds of years are going to pass.
250 years, I think.
No, probably more than that. No, I mean, I think Judges alone is 400 years. You know, so, and then we're talking about all the, it's probably 1,000 years. Because now this is after Jerusalem has fallen. 17, 8 through 16.
Yeah.
Okay, Melania, 8 through, 8 through 15, sorry.
All right. Then came in Amalek and fought with Israel.
Wait, 16, go ahead.
In Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose for us men and go forth, fight with the Amalek tomorrow. Am I stationing myself upon the hill with the staff of Elohim in my hand? So Joshua did as Moses had said to him to fight with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Ur went up to the top of the hill. And it shall be when Moses shall lift up, lift on high his hands, then shall Israel prevail. But when shall he let his hands let down his hands, then shall Amalek prevail. But the hands of Moses were weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereupon. And Aaron and Hur held up his hands, on this side one, and on the other side one, and so his hands became steady until the going in of the sun. So Joshua overthrew Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then said Yahweh unto Moses, write this as a remembrance in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. I will wipe out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heavens.
Keep going.
And Moses built an altar and called it the name thereof Yahweh Nissi. And if he said, because of a hand against the throne of Yah, and Yahweh hath war with Amalek from generation to generation.
Good. A hand against the throne of Yah, and that's something. So this is the history of Amalek, which we're going to see that Haman was part of that. Deuteronomy 25. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Page 224. Now this, that would, in Exodus, that's when it happens. You're 40 years in the wilderness. Deuteronomy is taking his last couple months in the wilderness. So it's a summation. 25, 17 through 19. Remember that which Amalek did unto thee by the way when you came forth out of Egypt. How he encountered thee by the way and cut off, and this is what Amalek was doing. Cut off in thy rear all the worn out behind thee, thou thyself being weary and worn, how he feared not Elohim. Therefore shall it be, when Yahweh thy Elohim hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about in the land which Yahweh thy Elohim is giving unto thee for an inheritance to possess it, then shalt thou wipe out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heavens. Thou shalt not forget. Now, who is the person who gets signed to doing this is King Saul. 1 Samuel 15, page 303.
It's about 500 years later.
Yeah, long time. That's after the book of Judges.
The Moses about 1490s.
So it's, yeah. It's
David's about 1000 BC.
1 Samuel 15, verse 1. And 3, 1 through 3, Isaiah.
Okay. And Samuel said to Saul, "It was me Yahweh sent to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken unto the voice of Yahweh's words. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, I have well considered what Amalek did unto Israel, how he lay in wait for him in the way when he came up out of Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and devote ye to destruction all that he hath, and spare him not. But thou shalt slay both men and women, both child and sucking, both ox and sheep, both camel and donkey."
An ass. Well, you can say ass. That's what it says.
So,
that's the correct word.
I'm going to tell you more.
Now, it must be a kingdom of demons. You know, really, if you're looking at what happened, it was Yahweh wants, and this is 500 years later, probably. Yeah. All of them destroyed. Everything destroyed. Saul doesn't do that. Mm. He does half of them, and he keeps the good ones. And that is obedient, disobedience against Yahweh and Samuel, which is another story, but we're going to go to 31. Here's what Samuel ended up doing, because he kept the king, which is Agag.
3:31?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, 13, same chapter, 15, verse 31. Mm-hmm. So then Samuel, and that's something else we might try to remember doing, is bring back the actual pronunciation. And so it's not Israel, not two syllables, it's Israel, three syllables. It's not Saul, it's Saul, that's two syllables. And Samuel, not Samuel. So you don't have to, but I think it'd be honoring to try to bring back the actual vocabulary of what the names actually are.
Which is L in his name.
Pardon me?
L.
Yeah, that's right. It's Samuel, and then yeah. Israel. I said, you say Israel, well, you've lost the name El. Samuel, you've lost the name on that, too. Saul. And so we're always shortening things, which is understandable, but something to take into consideration. Verse 31. Samuel was a great prophet. Didn't mess around. So then Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul bowed down unto Yahweh. Then said Samuel, "Bring ye near unto me Agag." Remember, Haman called himself an Agite, right?
Agag.
Agag.
Agag. There's two G's.
Yeah. Agag, king of Amalek. And Agag said unto him, or came into him in fetters. Then said Agag, "Surely terrible is the bitterness of death." And Samuel said, "As women have been made childless by thy sword, so childless among women shall be thine own mother." And Samuel cut Agag asunder.
Agag.
What?
Agag. Agag.
Asunder before Yahweh in Gilgal. That's who we're talking about now with Haman. So we go to back to Esther.
What does this have to do with Haman?
Haman was an Agag.
Was a descendant.
That's right.
King Agag.
Yeah. He was a Malachite. So, Mordecai was of Kish, a Benjamite. So as Bollinger says, Saul was a Benjamite of Kish. He did not do what he was supposed to have done. Mordecai finishes what Saul didn't do.
His grandson, huh?
Cool. And so this comes all the way hundreds of years, because now we're talking about
500 years.
You know, Saul and how many kings through Israel, and then falling going into the book of Esther. We're talking about 100, 800, 900 years, and now Mordecai, and here's an Agag, what? Hates the Jews. One common denominator all the way from Moses to Esther was to destroy the Jews.
To destroy
Yahweh's people,
the Christ line.
And so, yeah, this is to come against Yahweh. So it's an attack on Yahweh. Chapter 3, verse 3 in Esther, 495. learn about Haman. And they say, like they say, the seed doesn't fall too far from the tree.
Apple.
Well, I'm just going to say seed, not the apple, but a seed. Verse 3. This is where we're going to stop. Haman then said the king's servant who were in the king's gate unto Mordecai, wherefore art thou transgressing the commandment of the king? Because he would not bow to Haman. And it came to pass when they had spoken unto him day by day, and he had not hearkened unto them, that they told Haman to see whether the account of Mordecai would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai did not bend nor bow down unto him, then was Haman filled with wrath, but it was contemptible in his eyes to thrust forth a hand on Mordecai alone. For they had told him of the people of Mordecai, and Haman sought to destroy all the Jews who were there throughout all the kingdom of Ahasuerus, the people of Mordecai. So not only Mordecai, I'm going to kill them all. And obviously this is spiritual wickedness. In the first month, the same was a month Nisan. And right now, we're in Adar 14, and that is the 12th month. Nisan is the first month. So these, look at these significance too. What happened on Nisan the 14th? Yahweh made it the first month of the year. It was Tishri.
Day of Shouting?
No. Nisan the 1st, the 14th is Passover.
Okay.
So we're going to say we have a full moon now. This is the 12th month, right? And Feast of Unleavened Breads is Nisan the 15th. So there'll be another next full moon is Passover and Feast of Unleavened Breads, which is the first month of the year. Now we're in the 12th month. We're coming up to the first month. He was in the first month. Verse 7. In the first month, the same was a month, Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, was Purcast, and that's where we get Purim. Pur is Lot. So they're trying to find the date where we're going to put these people to death. Cast the same is the lot before Haman from day to day and from month to month, and the lot fell on the 13th day of the 12th month. The same as the month what?
Adar.
What month are we in right now in the Hebrew month?
Adar.
That's right. Then said Haman unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people throughout all the province of thy kingdom, whose laws are diverse from every people, and the laws of the king they observe not, for the king therefore is not fit to suffer them. If unto the king it seems good, let it be written to destroy them, and 10,000 talents of silver will I weigh out upon the hands of them who are doing the business to bring it into the treasury of the king. So then the king took his signet ring. Oh, this king must have been something else. But we're going to see he's very significant in Yahweh's plan. Okay, sounds good. I think I'll go have lunch. Yeah. Is there a poll game going on?
Yeah.
What's your plan?
What? You're bothering me.
So then the king took his signet ring from off his hand and gave it unto Haman, son of Hamathitah, the Agite, the adversary of the Jews. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is granted thee, and the people to do with them as may seem good in thy eyes. Here's the hatching plan that Yahweh knew about, and that's why he's got Esther where she is. Now, this is the 12th year of Ahasuerus, which is really Cambyses. So Cambyses.
Okay, you better explain a little.
Ahasuerus is like the word pharaoh or king. It doesn't give a specific name, but we'll get into that. All this gets tied together. He started in the third year. He married Esther, or Hadassah, in the seventh year. So this is 5 years later. So Esther has been his wife for 5 years. So we kind of see how things are going clockwise. Now, we started looking at Yahweh's providence. And providence is foreseeing things and planning for things. And so when you're in a very bad situation, Yahweh knew about that situation 20 years before it ever happened. So you're going to have the tools necessary, unless you're out of fellowship, you're going to have the tools necessary to overcome that obstacle. because that's called providence. So, let's look at this story of Esther, which is Hadassah and Mordecai. Vashti was the queen. Vashti was the queen of the king, Ahasuerus, which is Cambyses. Well, let me just explain something to you. Cambyses is the king. And they call him Ahasuerus, and in other books it's all different names. They're never going to call him Cambyses, but by the Cyrus cylinder, all this is on there, and Bollinger has a great explanation of it. So Cambyses marries Hadassah and names her Esther. They end up having a child who is called who?
Cyrus.
Now that's not according to the book, but that we're going to see how that works out. Now, these are huge things when you're looking at what happens. So Vashti refused, and what happened? Because Yahweh could instructed her, don't go to that jerk. And so she doesn't, so now what? She's cut off. He needs a new wife. That opens the door for Esther. But Mordecai, let's go to Mordecai, or chapter 3, verse 5. I guess really chapter 2. I got 3, but it's chapter 2. Here is Mordecai's story. And he is an instrument in this plan, and he did not know that when you're being exiled from your home. And a certain Jew there was in Shushan, the palace, whose name was Mordecai, son of J.R., son of Shimei, son of Kish, a man of Benjamin, who had been exiled from Jerusalem, with the exiles who were carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, exiled. And it came to pass that he was bringing up Hadassah, the same was Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maiden was what? Beautifully formed. That is providence. And pleasing appearance. And when her father and mother died, Mordecai took her for his own daughter. So it came to pass when the king's command and decree was heard, and there had been gathered together many maidens unto Shushan the palace, unto the custody of now, telling people the story, Vashti gets rejected. He's bringing all the virgins in to become a new queen. So we're going to be jumping into the story. You need to read the whole book of Esther to understand these things. But we don't have time. Then Esther was taken into the house of the king under the custody of Hegag, keeper of the women. And the maiden was pleasing in his eyes. That would be divine providence. So you're looking at her appearance is great. She's going into the guy who prepares all the women for the king. He thinks she's great. So there's more affection that is coming from him, who is very instrumental in getting her to be queen. And it was pleasing in his eyes, and she received his said before him. And that's like, family bond has said. And he hastened to give her the things needed. He hastened, isn't that good? He hastened to give her the things needed for her purification. So we got to understand this. We're going to keep going. Yahweh can make somebody in my eyes where I become completely infatuated with. And I think a lot of times married people, that's what happens. They don't even realize. I think it's a spiritual thing. Because a person could say, what do you see in that person? Or vice versa. But when this person sees them, they're the best thing impossible. And so I think that's Yahweh stirring that longing to say, I want you to go to this person. So when they hit them, you're like, wow!
Twitter painted.
Yeah, and everybody's like, but they're like, wow! You know, and so think of this in the same deal. I think that's what happened to me and these things happen. And then you get something in your heart, I can't live without that person. That's all there is to it. I've got to be with that person. And Yahweh's doing things. So is Christ. Let me see here. Let's go start back at verse 9. And the maids were pleasing in his eyes, and she received a said before him, and he hastened to give her the things needed for her purification, and things appointed her, and to give her 7 select maidens out of the house of the king, and he removed her and her maiden to the best place in the house of the women. I mean, so everything's favor, favor, favor. This is the same thing that happened with Joseph. Remember the pattern of Joseph? When he was sold as slave with Potiphar, everything prospered. When he went into the prisons, everybody liked him. So that same instrument is going on and on, and we're going to see with Daniel. Esther had not told of her people nor of her kindred, for Mordecai had laid charge upon her that she should not tell that she was a Hebrew. Providential. Mordecai, I wasn't even sure on that. Whatever. But he says, don't tell you're a Jew. Very important, because if Haman would have known that, it changes everything, doesn't it? Haman's not going to get killed. We'll stop there. But we're looking at beautiful poem. The maiden was pleasing in his eyes, the keeper, and she's not a Jew. Now we go to 12 through 17.
Who's not a Jew?
Esther.
The Esther is to the world is not a Hebrew or a Jew.
Oh, okay.
It's concealed, and that is, you know. So, and we've got to remember sometimes too. Well, you embarrassed to being a Jew. Sometimes you just do as you're led, and it's going to be out of the ordinary. And you just keep your mouth shut and do as you're led, because there's something out there that's going to be huge.
Now we go. Donald Trump was a Christian until after he was elected.
Yeah, that's right.
Legitimately.
Yeah.
Now 12 through 17. And when the turn of each maiden came to go into King Ahasuerus, that's really Cambyses, after he had been done to her according to the law of the women for 12 months, for so were fulfilled the day of their purifications, 6 months with oil. You know, most women like this. It's really sad though, because they become slaves. They are. You can't get married after you've had sexual intercourse with the king. Now, you're going to be taken care of, but you're still a slave. 6 months of oil of myrrh, and 6 months with perfumes and with things for the purification of the women. Then indeed the maiden came in unto the king. Now, here's what they could do. Whatsoever she might mention was given her. So I'm trying to become the queen. So what do you think? Each person is going to say, what could I do to turn the king's heart? And so that's what she's going to do. But whatsoever she might mention was given her to go with her out of the house of the women up to the house of the king. In the evening she went in, and in the morning she returned unto the second house of the women, unto the custody of Shagakas, the king's eunuch, who kept the concubines. Now the king's people are the same way. They are eunuchs. And so they were castrated. You're not going to marry. You're not going to have children. So this is just the way things were. She went not in again unto the king, except the king delighted in her, and she was called by name. But when the turn came for Esther, daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as her own daughter to go in unto the king, she didn't use her own head to say, what should I bring him? She requested nothing save what Hegag, the king's eunuch who kept the woman, might direct. What do you suggest? And this guy knows what the king likes. But so it was that Esther obtained favor in the eyes of all who beheld her. So there's the same with Joseph. Providential care. So then Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his royal house in the 12th month. The same was the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign, and the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained favor and is said before him above all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great banquet for all his rulers and servants, the banquet of Esther, and a remission for all the provinces made he, and gave a present according to the bounty of a king. That's where we get to see Yahweh's providential care of preparing Cambyses or Ahasuerus to pick Esther. Now, we're going to look at Mordecai on the providential care. 4 verse 1. Okay, and we know that Haman said, we're killing the Jews, and we see how the edict. This is the first month. It's going to happen in Adar 13, the 12th month 13. Right? Mordecai knows about it. When now, how is Mordecai going to affect this whole situation? And when Mordecai came to know all that had been done, Mordecai rent his garments, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went forth into the midst of the city, and cried out with an outcry, loud and bitter, and went as far before the gate of the king, for none might enter into the gate of the king clothed in sackcloth. And throughout every province, whithersoever the word of the king and his edict came, was great mourning to the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and lamentation, and sackcloth and ashes were spread out for many. So they were asking for Yahweh's deliverance. And that's what this all entails. And we go now to 4 verse 12, sorry. And Esther read this, and this is very providential. Mordecai tells Esther. Esther is going, why are you out there embarrassing my family? And sackcloth and everything else, putting ashes on your head. And they told Mordecai the words of Esther, and then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, do not think in thy own soul to escape in the house of the king from all the Jews. But if thou do indeed hold thy peace, at this time respite and deliverance will be appointed for the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house will perish, and who knoweth whether for a time such as this thou hast attained unto the royal estate. That's Donald Trump. For a time just as this, he is he has been groomed by Yahweh, and every one of us are being groomed according to our gift and ministry, whether it's to save somebody's life from committing suicide, showing them salvation, and we have no idea of what we've been groomed for until all of a sudden at the end we go, wow, I didn't see that at all. I think Esther saw any of this, Hadassah, Mordecai, he's exiled from his homeland. We're going to see what happens with him. And 5, verse 1 and 2. And it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the house of the king over against the house of the king. And I guess we don't need to read this. But that was... but here's providential care. And we've read this before, but if you went into the king without being asked, you were put to death unless he held out his royal scepter. So she goes in, and verse 2, and it came to pass when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his eyes, and the king held out to Esther, and so there is Yahweh working also. Not to kill Esther. The golden scepter which was in her hand, so Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. There is providence. Now we go to chapter 6, verse 1. Before this, 6, verse 1, Mordecai heard about two people who wanted to kill the king. And so he told Esther, Esther told the king, and they had the two guys killed. But the king never knew who these people were or anything else. So the king can't sleep one night.
He didn't know who tipped him off.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So he doesn't know. And the relationship between Esther and Mordecai is a secret. 6:1, during that night, the sleep of the king fled. Providence. And he commanded, I'm bored, let's look at what's going on. He commanded to bring in the book of remembrance, the chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written how that Mordecai had told concerning Bigthan and Teresh, the two eunuchs of the king guarding the threshold, who had sought to thrust forth a hand upon King Ahasuerus. Then said the king, what honor and dignity has been done unto Mordecai after this? And they said, the king's young men who were ministering on him, nothing has been done for him. And we know the story, that he goes in and tells Haman, what should be done to the person who the king favors? And he should be decked out, and he should be clothed, and he should be put on a horse, and everything else. That's the rest of this chapter. You know, try to shorten things up. And then Haman finds out it's not him, it's Mordecai, his worst enemy, who he has a gallows built for. Now think of that. Now that's providence. And Mordecai didn't know when he blew the whistle on these two guys that this was going to come back, because obviously you weren't even mentioned at that particular time. Now we go to chapter 8, verse 1. And on that day, so Mordecai is killed. He is dead.
Haman.
Yeah, Mordecai. Oh, no. Haman is put to death. Now look what happens. And on that day, the king Ahasuerus gave unto Esther the queen the house of Haman, the adversary of the Jews, and Mordecai came in before the king, for Esther had told what was to her. First time is known. And the king took off his signet ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai, and Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. I mean, this is just phenomenal, but it can happen in every one of our lives, and is happening. We'll keep reading. And yet again did Esther before the king, and fell down at his feet, because she's going to come in again without being asked, and wept and made supplication unto him to cause the mischief of Haman the Agite to pass away, even the plot which had plotted against the Jews. So Haman was dead, but the order to kill the Jews was not done. It was still going to be done.
Canceled.
And the king held out unto Esther the golden scepter. So twice she put her life on the line. And so Esther arose and stood before the king. So we know that she got that. Now we go to verse 15.
She laid her life down twice, like Isaac.
Yeah. Verse 15. And Mordecai went forth from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, with a large diadem of gold and a mantle of fine linen and purple, just like Joseph, just like Daniel, and really Moses in the same sense. And the city of Shushan was bright and joyful. To the Jews had come light and joy and gladness and honor because of Yahweh's providence with Hadassah and Mordecai. And in every province and every city, whithersoever the word of the king and his edict did reach, joy and gladness had the Jews, a banquet and a happy day, and many from among the people of the land were becoming what?
Jews.
Multiplying. I mean, And that's the same way with Donald Trump. Maybe he keeps quiet about being a Christian. And now with the Bible and hiring Christian ambassadors, for the dread of the Jews has fallen upon them. Now think of that, all that happening. So what we have now is Cambyses, which is
Ahasuerus.
Yeah, is Ahasuerus, and he's called other names too, is married to Esther. They, in the book of Nehemiah, allow Nehemiah to build the walls of Jerusalem. That's Nehemiah. Cambyses and Esther give birth to Cyrus. Cyrus, and I believe they call him a heathen king, and I don't think it's all in common, he was a Jew. Because his mother was Esther and his uncle was Mordecai. And people were becoming Jews in the land of Persia. So he would have become a Jew because he knows who Yahweh is. We're going to see. And so obviously he's a circumcised Jew, and Yahweh is going to call him a Messiah, anointed one. And Mordecai, his teacher, and has Hadassah, his mother. And so then Daniel, chapter 6, verse 28, meets Cambyses when they invade Babylon. And now we go to Isaiah 44, page 689. This is about finished.
Daniel meets Cambyses?
Yeah. And actually, he lives right up to Cyrus.
Yeah.
So you're like, wow. I mean, you're looking at all this is intertwined of the heathen kings being incorporated in the providence of Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Cambyses, Cyrus,
Pharaoh,
Who? Pharaoh with Joseph also, too. You're like, whoa. So things look pretty bleak, as it does in the United States. But now we're going to look at 24, chapter 44, verse 24. Here is Cyrus. Thus said Yahweh, who was the child of Esther. Thus said Yahweh, who hath redeemed thee, who hath fashioned thee from birth. I, Yahweh, am the maker of all things, stretching out the heavens alone, shredding forth the earth of myself, frustrating the signs of pratters and diviners he confoundeth, turning wise men backwards, and their knowledge he maketh folly, establishing the word of his servant, and the counsel of his messengers he maketh good, who saith that Jerusalem, she shall be inhabited. This was 150 years before Cyrus was ever born. So like John Shane, I would said, Jerusalem was inhabited.
Then he said what?
Jerusalem was inhabited at that time.
Yeah.
So everybody said, what do you mean? Jerusalem is going to be inhabited.
Yeah.
I mean, who said Jerusalem? She shall be inhabited, and the cities of Judah, they shall be built. They're already built. You don't realize what's coming up. And the ruin thereof will I set up. Well, there's no ruins. Who saith to the deep, be dry, and thy rivers will I drain. Who saith of Cyrus, my shepherd, and all my pleasure shall he make good. Even saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built, and of the temple be her foundation laid. Well, they already have the temple. So this is prophesying 150 years before that. Now we go to 2 Chronicles, page 469. This is 2 Chronicles is the last book of the Old Testament. And look how it ends. Verse 22. Okay, 36:22. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia. 22. But in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, to accomplish the word of Elohim by the mouth of Jeremiah, Yahweh aroused, that's providence, right? Aroused. And you're going to know, Esther, when you're aroused, or Isaiah or Melania, because sometimes you're going to really want to do something. And you can't really understand why. And a lot of times that's Yahweh stirring something. Follow it. Follow your desires. If it's godly, follow it. Do it. And then after it's done, then the urge goes away. And you're like, okay, that had to be followed. So he's stirring up. Yahweh aroused the Ruach of Cyrus, king of Persia, so he made proclamation throughout all his kingdom, moreover also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth have Yahweh. He knew Yahweh, not Elohim. I bet he's the only unbeliever that calls him Yahweh. Well, no, Pharaoh will call him, but not as his God. All the kingdoms of the earth have Yahweh, Elohim of the heavens, given unto me, and he himself hath laid charge upon me to build to him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judea.
Judah.
Who is there among you of all the people with whom is Yahweh is Elohim, then let him go up. That's the end of the book. Now, Matthew 1 is the beginning of the New Testament. And look what it says. Page 1. Because there's one other story of providence involved in a child's life. It was in Joseph's life. It was in Daniel's life. I mean, how about Moses' life? He was a baby put on the water. He was in Hadassah's life. You know, and Mordecai's life, not as a child, but it's Yahushua. The lineage role of Yahushua Mashiach, son of David, son of Abraham. That's how the beginning again. And so Cyrus says, I'm going to rebuild the temple. This same Yahushua is going to rebuild the same temple. That is going to be destroyed. That's his mission. So Yahushua was birthed in a manger, poor, like Moses. He went to Egypt, like Moses. He's a Nazarene, crucified, awoke, and he also is going to save Israel.
He's also what?
saving Israel by what he ended up doing, and that's Yahweh's providence. Okay. Amen.
He's going to rebuild the temple in the book of Revelation.
Yep. Yes, he sure is. And that's the Ezekiel, the rebuilding of the temple. All intertwined, but the point is that's not history, that's reality in all of our lives. So take it seriously. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words, and we thank you for these words of prophecy for our hearers. Be strong, be vigilant, and transpire to live all that you can be for me. For as I live in you, I abide in you, and I want the best to come out of you as my instruments, as my tools that I can bring great wealth and satisfaction to the people around you by using you as instruments, as a blessing you can be with to the people I put before you, and as a barrier and as a shield to protect other people. So rise up. As I work within these individuals, I also work in your lives. Amen.
Amen.
See you next week, guys.